Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Your Mortgage Process. I'm, of course, your host, Greg Wareham. So I want to talk a little bit about the overall U.S. economy. And, you know, a couple things have been going on. When we look at the job market, new jobs created, unemployment rate, and how that's impacting the overall market, it's had some significance there. So with summer approaching, signs have emerged of a possible U.S. labor market slowdown. Job openings have modestly declined in recent months. In the April employment situation summary from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics shows payroll employment growth slowed from the previous months. April saw the creation of 175,000 new jobs, which was modestly below the expectations and a possible sign of slower economic growth. Nevertheless, job layoff activity appears stable and workers' wage gains remain solid. April also represented the 40th consecutive month of payroll employment growth. The unemployment rate rose slightly to 3.9%, and that's up from 3.8%. But overall, unemployment has remained below 4% for 28 consecutive months. Now, to put that into perspective, that's the longest month-to-month stretch of below 4% unemployment rates since 1967 to 1970. So, and a lot of people weren't even born then. So that's how significant it is what we've been seeing in the marketplace over the course of the past several years. Now, signs of what might be a cooling job market came on the heels of the first quarter gross domestic product release, showing the economy growing at a modest 1.6% annualized rate. Now, recent data appears to indicate tapering of economic growth, which could have an impact on Federal Reserve monetary policy, and we'll see as they meet over the course of the summer. Investors in the marketplace continue to anticipate the Fed is going to lower the federal funds target rate later this year, which would reverse the monetary policy that they've pursued now since 2022 and into 2023. And as we all know at this point, during that time, the Fed raised rates from near 0% to more than 5%. You know, the Fed overall has held rates steady since July of 2023 and recently indicated that rate cuts may not be imminent. So we want to pay attention to that. I know at the beginning of the year, we all thought that rate cuts would be imminent this year, but they may not happen as quickly as we were all hoping. But the good news of that is further rate increases are very, very unlikely. So the question really comes down to time when it comes to a Federal Reserve cut. So how might the Fed react to most recent trends as it determines future interest rate moves? Trends like employment and housing and inflation? And does today's job market provide any guidance for investors as they set expectations going forward? And all these are questions that we all have in the marketplace currently. In the first 4 months of 2024, payrolls grew by an average of 245,000 jobs per month. And that's slightly below the 2023 average. However, that April increase of 175,000 new jobs represented 2024's slowest month of job creation. Now, I want to put this a little bit into perspective. So I hear 245,000 jobs. Was it a lot? Is it a little? What's it benchmarked against? So to put it into perspective, in 2021, job growth creation was at 603,000 jobs being created per month. 2023, it was 377,000 jobs. 2022. 2023 was 254,000 jobs. So what we have seen is that steady decline in job creation over the course of the past 4 years. Now, the most notable job gains occurred in the healthcare, social assistance, transportation, warehousing, and retail industries. Shocker, retail and warehousing, that's pretty much Amazon. So we see continued growth in those particular areas. Now, April's 3.9% unemployment rate was consistent with recent months' readings when unemployment ranged from 3.7 to 3.9%. Unemployment is only marginally higher than the most recent low of 3.4% that it reached in April of 2023, so a little bit over a year ago. There continues to be an unusual imbalance between the number of job openings and the availability of individuals seeking employment. This is an important number. In April, there were 8.5 million job openings in the United States, and there were only 6.5 million unemployed people. So that's clearly an imbalance. There's more jobs than there are people to fill the jobs. So everyone who's looking for a job out in the marketplace has 1.3 jobs to choose from. Now, the number of job openings declined modestly in recent months. It's slowly headed in the right direction, according to Rob Howarth at U.S. Bank Wealth Management. Still, the imbalance favors the workers, and as a result, the fact that we have more job openings than available workers could keep wage pressures elevated. And that makes sense, right? If you have more jobs out there than you have people to fill the jobs, in order for someone to take the job that you have offered out there, we got to pay them more money, and that keeps wages up. According to Mark Schopener, a senior economist at U.S. Bank, improving labor participation is one way to address the tightness in the labor market that's propping up wage gains. And that kind of just reinforces what I had just said. You know, one measure economists watch to forecast potential changes in labor market trends is the weekly new jobless claims. In the most recent report issued in May, the initial jobless claims stood at 208,000. That's per week. And it's lingered in the low 200,000 level for most of 2024. And it shows that companies are generally hanging on to their employees. At the same time, the recent report shows people are not leaving the jobs at the rate they once were. And this inevitably signals a slightly softer labor market. Softer labor market could be good for recessionary trends and interest rates coming down over the course of time. Now, listen, recessions are never good, but for purposes of the high interest rate environment, recession could trigger lower interest rates, which could be good for a lot of us. The labor force participation rate, which represents the percentage of the population currently in the workforce, held steady at 62.7%. Labor force participation is considered a key barometer of the broader economy's health. The labor force participation rate was higher at 62.8% between August and November of 2023. So you see that it is coming down. Improving labor participation is one way to address the tightness in the labor market that's propping up wage gains. So now we have to look at it, and we know that unemployment is still very low. We know jobs are still being created, even though it's trending downward, which could be good for any Fed response to lower interest rates. But we really need to watch the Fed's response. You know, signs of a slower economic growth have not translated into reduced inflation, which is what the Fed has been waiting for. The most recent reading of the Consumer Price Index, or also called the CPI, showed inflation at 3.36% in April, which was lower than where it was at in March at 3.5%. So it's certainly moving in the right direction. But the Fed is looking for incremental month-to-month declines in living costs. You know, one disruption in inflation going down isn't going to signal to the Fed that they need to make any type of change in the immediate future. So, point being that the Fed, again, is going to keep an eye on these variables. Hopefully we see a continued trend, and that continued trend of inflation going downward should hopefully help the Federal Reserve move the long-term or their federal funds interest rate. Now, I want to talk for a minute about hourly wage earnings from 2014 to 2024. And these are going to be rated in the form of a percentage point. So when I go back to 2014, average hourly earnings growth was at about 1.75%. It jumped over 2% in 2015. And it slowly increased to 2018, where it was a little over 3%. 2019, we saw it drop down closer to 3%. And then you see a spike in 2020, where hourly wage growth in the private sector jumped to over 5%. And that's high to see that type of an incremental change in a very short period of time. Since that time, we've seen wage growth declining, but it still hovers right around that 4% mark. Start to see that number come down, that should be good for long-term interest rates. Excuse me. So Fed Chair Jerome Powell earlier in May said that as a result of recent inflation and labor market trends, the risk to achieving our employment and inflation goals have moved towards better balance. The economic outlook is uncertain. However, we remain highly attentive to inflation risks. Powell indicated the Fed wants to be more confident that inflation is moving in the right direction before it begins cutting the federal funds rate. You know, it's funny, I had read something, I had read something over the course of the weekend that the Fed chairperson Powell's a little bit concerned that inflation and Fed cuts don't move in tandem the way that they have historically. And let me just revise that statement. I should really say Fed increases in inflation. The plan obviously was they're going to increase interest rates, it's going to drop inflation, but it's not as responsive as it has been in the past. So according to Schopenhauer, again, at U.S. Bank, the job market's ongoing strength may complicate the Fed's rate-cutting plans. A tight labor market offering more competitive wages has played an important role, providing consumers the wherewithal to maintain higher spending levels. That heightens the risk that inflation could persist or even trend higher. I mean, people are spending money, and you don't have to be an expert to know that. I mean, people are spending money on everything, whether or not it's higher real estate with those higher interest rates, whether or not it's higher cost of cars, whether or not you walk into Costco and you see all the prices higher than they were a couple of years ago. People are continuing to spend, and they're not cutting or curbing their spending habits. Well, why? Because wages are up and there's low unemployment. People are working and they're earning more money than they've ever made. Therefore, they can continue to spend at the clip that they've been spending in the past. Now, last thing I wanted to go through is what to expect going forward. So investors continue to closely follow jobs data for signs of a slowdown, which could provide the Fed with the impetus to begin cutting interest rates. Lower rates are considered a way to provide a boost to the economy, which would likely help extend any type of stock market rally, as we all know, that began in 2023. So we'll continue to keep you posted on everything. Again, it's a shame that the cost of real estate continues to rise. It's a shame that interest rates are high. As we've mentioned before, two things can really drive you crazy in this world: getting what you want and not getting what you want. So right now, people are not getting what they want in the form of high interest rates. Makes you unhappy. Well, if you get what you want and interest rates go down and that forces prices up, that's going to make you unhappy as well. So be careful what you wish for. The way things that are trending right now is we should see some relief gradually with the Federal Reserve over the course of time. And be happy that we're making a lot of money, right? You're getting paid more money than you've ever made, according to the statistics. Everyone's virtually working in this country right now. In your 401ks, your IRAs, your CDs, all of that is earning a very high rate of return. So save your money and try to start to curb your spending, because as this market shifts and we go into a more recessionary area, you have to be prepared financially. One thing I would close on is remember, recessions are a sale for the prepared. So be prepared. With that, we want to thank everybody for listening this week, and we look forward to catching up with you next week. Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Your Mortgage Process, hosted by Greg Wareham, produced by Greg Wareham and Nick Pavese at The Social Rift, and executively produced by The Social Rift. Thank you again for tuning in, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.